here seek to arrive at consensus for the benefit of all concerned. And so, Lord, it is with thanksgiving for this beautiful day. It's with thanksgiving for the freedom of the land. It's with thanksgiving for one of the safest towns in the country that we live in, that we come before you tonight. And so, Lord, will you please bless each one as we do business here tonight on behalf of the residents of this town. We pray through Christ. Amen.
Amen. Once again, let me welcome everyone here, and I would ask at this time, two members of council, have anyone any pecuniary interest they wish to declare at this time? Councilor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Deals with item 10.3, with the presentation from the Rotary. I'm a member of their fest committee, and I believe they're going to be discussing some issues that may put me in a bad spot.
That will so be noted into the minutes. Anyone else? Hearing not, I'll just remind members of council, if perhaps during the course of this meeting one finds themselves in conflict, notification to the chair identifying exactly what the conflict is, and we'll have it entered into the minutes. That brings us to the minutes of our previous meeting. What's council's pleasure relative thereto? Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll move the minutes of the two meetings as listed.
It's been moved, supported by Councilor Sutton. Any discussion, errors, omissions, or concerns? Hearing none, all in favor to adopt those minutes. Opposed, it's carried. That brings us to recognitions, Brenda.
Our first recognition is Gina Servi, retirement after 25 years of service.
We have Gina with us this evening. Gina's no stranger. You can come up, Gina. I just want to say to members of council and certainly those in the audience, Gina has now decided that she is going to retire. Gina began employment with the old township of Anderton back in June. I believe it was the 30th, 1987, and certainly she performed the duties at that particular time within the clerk's department. Taking care of the agendas and certainly the various minutes. She became secretary of the Committee of Adjustment, and also in her line of work, she assisted with the tax collection and the water payments. Back in June of 1998, when Namatsburg expanded its boundaries to include the former townships of Anderton and Malden, Gina then became, of course, working in the building department. She worked there from June of 98 to October of 98, and then of course transferred to the Emmitsburg tax department back in October of 98. She remained in the Treasury Department until of course her time of retirement, and she has been in our employ and served this community very well, almost to the term of 26 years. And so what we want to do at this particular time is applaud Gina for her commitment, for her work, her contribution she has made to this community and to the many residents of this particular community. And we wish her and her family health, happiness in the years to come.
Thank you.
So just before you get a chance to say something, Gina, and before Carol will make a presentation with you, I just wanted to say to you on behalf of the Corporation of the Town of Amherst, which of course includes not just the council and administration, but also the residents of our community, we want to congratulate you on your retirement after 25 years of dedicated service to the Town of Amherst, and we wish you nothing but the best in a long and very happy retirement for you and your family. Okay, and so I'll present this to you, and then I'll turn it over to Carol so she can give you the good thing. She can give you the good thing.
You know what? It was such a pleasure working here because this is where I grew up.
That's right.
I
I've known Gina Heritage.
Ever
she was a mammoth bird, her mom, father, her grandmother, and grandfather.
I just want to say that leaving is bittersweet because working in Amherstburg has been such a pleasure and such an honor. And I've made so many good friends, like the rate pickers are now my friends. And I'm so going to miss them because every time they came in, they always had nice things to say. And the biggest thrill I got working in the tax office, because nobody likes to pay taxes. So my biggest thrill is when somebody came in all upset and angry for whatever reason, and if I was able to turn them around and make them smile before they left because they understood or whatever the reason was, oh God, I got such pleasure in that, and I just loved it, and I made a friend, and I made so many good friends, and working for Amherstburg, I grew up 10 years just down the street, so what a pleasure it was. I feel so honored to have been able to work here. Thanks, all of you. Good luck to all of you. I know you're going to make the right decisions for us. Okay? Continue.
Thanks, Gina. Thank you.
And I just want to remind you, Gina, that you're not compelled to sit through this. Councilor Sutton.
Move receipt of the recognition.
Been moved, supported by Councilor Pinoff. Further discussion?
Just a comment. I have to, through you, Mr. Mayor, I have to tell Gina, I know a number of residents, particular farmers, they'll be upset when they hear you're gone.
Love that. Tell them to come and see me. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All in favor? Hold this carried.
That brings us to delegation, item 10.1, Essex Region Conservation Authority, IRCA, Annual Report 2012. Richard Wyman, General Manager, Secretary Treasurer, and Joe Bichetti, IRCA Chair.
Last week. I do send regrets on behalf of our chair, who unfortunately had some schedule changes and is unable to join me this evening. But I do, and this is the part of my job that I actually kind of enjoy, going to municipality to be municipality. And I can say that because this is the last of the municipalities that I've had the pleasure of meeting with. I do want to thank you for the opportunity tonight to present our 2012 annual report and speak to some of the activities that we've got planned for 2013. And the plans that we have are in keeping with our 2011-16 strategic plan, as well as our new five-year sustainability plan, and I'll speak to that in a few moments. Before I begin, I want to highlight a quote from the Federation of Canadian Municipalities. In 2011, they wrote a report entitled Building Canada's Green Economy, the Municipal Role. And the report included a quote from ICLEI, which is now known as the Local Government for Sustainability. And it spoke to a green economy being needs to recognize the true value of ecosystems and natural resources and the economic benefits of long-term ecologically and socially sound economic activities. And that term green economy is one that has been used a number of times in a number of different ways by a number of different people. And I look at the Ministry of Environment federally that called it the Great Reset. That better integrates our environmental objectives into Canada's economic structures and infrastructure. And that's exactly what the Conservation Authority has been doing now for almost 40 years. This is our 40th year. Building the green economy is part of our vision, as reflected in our strategic plan. It's also part of Conservation Ontario's vision in terms of moving forward in advancing our conservation, our shared conservation values amongst all 36 conservation authorities. From our perspective, we look at it in terms of defining and describing green economy from a watershed perspective. We believe that's a pretty core principle of green economy. It's also a pretty core principle to conservation authorities, which are internationally known and globally recognized as a watershed-based organization. And that allows us to better recognize the value of conservation, of stewardship, of biodiversity, of our nearshore, our coasts, of the importance of education and outreach, our Great Lakes and water conservation, and it stresses the need to take a look at this from that watershed perspective. This year marks the beginning of our 40th year of conservation in and for the Essex region. And from our very beginnings, that watershed principle was our core and basic principle that defines who we are and makes us unique. And it underlines all the work that we do in partnership with municipalities, with residents, with stewards, with stakeholders, and with so many others. And now, if I could, I'd like to show the video, and then I'll come and speak briefly to some of the things we've got planned for 2013.
Sure.
Oh, do I have the video here? I didn't.
Yes, sir.
Oh. Let's go back to the beginning. Try that again.
Also undertook a study to confirm its return on investment to our municipal partners and identify
the work that we do that you saw in that video relies on a strong board, and I certainly would like to recognize Councillor Sutton and Councillor Spielon, who have represented not only your community very well on the board, but have represented the Essex region on the board. And as a regional organization, that's a very important aspect to the work that we do. Over the past number of years, we've reported on some of our ongoing budget pressures as a conservation authority. We've talked about historic and chronic underfunding of levy contributions for operations. We've talked about decades of special projects subsidizing core programs, about capital infrastructure that's long past their useful lifespan, and combine that with a lack of operational and capital reserves and declines in special project funding, user fees, and lease revenues. And in response, our board directed administration to develop a five-year business plan that reflected the priorities in our 2011-16 strategic plan and responded to those budget pressures. The five-year sustainability plan entitled The Way Forward was approved by our board in November of 2012, and it identified a three-prong approach that ultimately better positions IRCA to better meet the needs of this region. First, we will be establishing capital reserves, which is not only best practice, but necessary for an organization like ours. We have around $5 to $6 million in capital assets, over 1.2 million of which is long past their useful lifespan. And we had, as I mentioned, no capital reserves to offset those costs. Similarly, over 25% of our budget is subject to fluctuating revenues, be it weather conditions, and we realized that a year or two ago with Holiday Beach and poor weather, the decline in attendance and visitation at Holiday Beach, which has a direct impact on us. It's also economic situations that does have an impact on our planning and permitting roles. And these are things that are difficult for us to manage and control, but yet we rely on some of those funds to deliver the programs that we have. Secondly, we've reduced our organizational structure from 7 to 4 departments. This has provided clarity on our priorities internally, and I think it better enables us to work with municipalities and other partners in responding to what I'll call the next generation of conservation challenges, things like climate change, about engineering innovation like low impact design, about building that green economy. And it encourages us to find further efficiencies by working with new municipal and other agency partners on shared needs in areas that perhaps we haven't explored yet. And third, we will be redirecting some of the savings from that restructuring to some of those key areas that are at risk of loss of financial support, such as our water quality program, our watershed planning program, biology, our water resources, and some of our engineering aspects, which are and have in the past been funded through at-risk third-party funding as a result of changes to provincial programs. And one example is the Water and Erosion Control Infrastructure Program, which I'll speak about in a moment, was reduced 50% in 2012 and 2013. We rely on that fund to help support our water resources engineer that provides capacity back to municipalities. So the plan for organizational sustainability not only has allowed us to move forward in planning in 2013 and beyond with a very modest budget increase, but it also enables us to continue to be leaders in improving the natural environment of Windsor and Essex County. A few projects we've got planned for this year, and first of the list is finally completing the Big Creek Watershed Management Plan. I know there's actually meetings being planned right now, I believe, with your administration to complete that plan. It has been in the works for a number of years, and it is time to get that plan complete. You want to use the knowledge that we've gained from this process and working with other planners from other municipalities to find a model that we can use in other watersheds and in other sub-watersheds in this region. We will be completing a number of WECI, or Water and Erosion Control Infrastructure projects, in and around Windsor and Essex region. As I mentioned, this program was cut by 50% for 2 years, but even still, IRCA has secured almost 20% of the limited funds province-wide going forward. So even with reductions in programs, we are still leading the way from conservation authorities in supporting that program. We will continue to work with partners to restore at least 100 meters of Detroit River shoreline. We'll be creating additional spawning habitat for the endangered lake sturgeon, and we'll be developing or finalizing the development of a Detroit River shoreline design manual to provide guidance on more environmentally sensitive shoreline engineering techniques along the Detroit River. With the structure and the restructuring, we also have defined a clear emphasis on research. We'll be working more closely with the University of Windsor, with St. Clair College, and with other partners to advance a research strategy to highlight some of the research needs that we have as an authority and as a region, to identify some of the gaps in existing knowledge, and look for opportunities to build and fill in some of those gaps with students and with others. We also recently launched our, or announced our watershed report card, which was part of the conservation Ontario province-wide initiative, and that report card identified that there continues to be some challenges in water quality in our region. Part of the work that we do to improve that situation was the implementation of our septic system outreach program, and I know members of our staff were here at this municipality recently to talk a little bit about that program. From a restoration side, we'll continue to work towards our 12% goal of restoring at least 90 acres, and I think by last count, we're closer to 120 acres now, and planting at least 165,000 trees in our region. Through our new capital program, we will be completing long overdue improvements at our conservation areas. And again, top of the list is a new beach washroom at Holiday Beach Conservation Area, which has been in need of repair for some time. We'll also be able to undertake roof and foundation repairs at the homestead. We'll be performing some access and stabilization repairs in sections of the Chrysler Canada Greenway and improving drainage at some of our conservation areas, such as Maidstone. And we'll be continuing to make improvements at Hillman Marsh. We'll be continuing the development of the Essex-Emmersburg Greenway. And I know Mr. Mayor and you and some of your council colleagues were in attendance recently when we announced a matching grant program through the generous donation of Richard Petty. That program, Richard and Colleen Petty, I should say, and that program is already taking off, and there's been a great deal of interest so far. And it's a program that we'll continue to push and continue to promote, and I expect that will happen as well with Essex and Amherstburg also. And it's certainly our intention to work with your administration and with this community to see that we can create enough of a base that we can actually begin to build trails on that greenway in 2014 as part of that capital plan. At the same time, we're also working with a number of other partners, including the town of Tecumseh, the municipality of LaSalle, and trying to connect or make sure that we have the connections between the Chrysler Canada Greenway, the LaSalle Parkway Trails, the town of Tecumseh Trails, and the Herb Gray Parkway Trails, so that we can truly create a connected community. Ultimately, if we want to encourage people to get out and visit our conservation areas, we do need to make sure that the facilities that we have leave them with a positive experience and are safe for them to use, and that they'll want to share with others and hopefully come back and return to those sites. So having an ability to invest in our conservation areas will go a long way. Our new organizational structure that I mentioned also allows us to more fully integrate our education program, including linking our outdoor education, our in-class programs, and our eco-schools program, and explore additional partnerships with the school boards. This program collectively provides outdoor education to more than 8,500 students, and we want to broaden that aspect through the school boards, and we also want at the same time broaden our community outreach program, creating a new volunteer engagement strategy and continuing to implement our youth engagement strategy to continue to connect youth to our natural environment and our natural heritage. And finally, as was announced in the video, we will begin to work with partners around the implementation of that Western Lake Erie Watershed's Priority Natural Area Initiative to better protect and restore the natural heritage features of this region, and Amherstburg is certainly a big part of that Western Lake Erie Watersheds. The approved sustainability plan ultimately provides an approach that will transition IRCA towards a more stable and sustainable organization. Recognizing we are all facing pressures to limit tax increases, in keeping with board direction, we have allocated funds from land acquisition to support the introduction of capital and operational reserves over the next 5 years. And we will continue to seek out funding to reduce the impact on acquisition support, and some of those things are already in place. The 2013 draft budget, or the now finalized budget, totals about $7.6 million and includes a levy contribution from all member municipalities of approximately $2.7 million, which is actually a levy increase of about 11 cents a household. As a final thought, when we completed our return on investment study last year, it was identified that over the previous 5 years, IRCA has received a little $11.8 million in levy contributions from all of its member municipalities, in return almost $30 million in new grant dollars and funding to municipalities in this region. This is hard cash, as was announced in the video, for specific projects that would have otherwise had to come from municipal budgets. It's over and above the programs and services we implement to improve our local environment. So ultimately, I believe, and I would suggest, that an investment in the Essex Region Conservation Authority not only makes good environmental sense, but certainly makes pretty good economic sense as well. I'm certainly happy to respond to any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Any questions of council at this time? Councillor Davies, followed by Councillor Pugier.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, I just want to thank you very much for that very detailed and excellent report. And certainly is very appropriate discussion on Earth Day. So we're very blessed to have this report on one of the most important green days of the year. And what you're talking about is we know now, there's studies showing that the more we do these trails and waterways and other activities, we're going to create a healthier community and healthier citizens. One of my questions was, you talked about the Detroit Riverbank, and I am concerned about the levels of the water, and I realize that's not quite your watershed, but certainly it'll affect your watershed. Do we have any information in relationship to how we're going to be able to manage? Certainly shipping is having a lot of problems, and certainly our boaters are very concerned about the levels.
Yeah, the IJC, or International Joint Commission, is responsible for looking at water levels and water use in the Great Lakes system and across any of those international waterways in between Canada and the United States. They've been undertaking for the last number of years what they call the Upper Great Lakes Study, which includes this region. Ultimately, Great Lake Erie and Lake St. Clair are considered part of the Upper Great Lakes. And they're looking at all of the various uses and all the various sources of water that come from the Great Lakes system. They're also taking a look at it in the context of what this climate is doing and how the changes in the climate are affecting water levels in terms of snow dumping, snow loading, all of these things that ultimately have an impact throughout the entire Great Lakes system. So that study that IJC has been working on will help answer some of those questions, but it certainly is going to be an issue going forward, for sure, in terms of we've seen, especially in Lake St. Clair, we've seen more and more dredging that we've been involved in, that we've been participating in with marina owners, and certainly we've been involved in dredging on the Detroit River as well over the last couple of years. So it is something that we're all interested in. I think it's part of a bigger picture in terms of understanding what impacts of whether you call it climate change or not, what are the impacts that we're seeing in our changing landscape, and how do we adapt to them as municipalities and as a region? And that's something that IRC is going to be working on in 2014. So it's top of mind and very, there are some, despite having flooding right now that they're seeing in central Ontario, there's even more water loss and more lower water levels there than we have here. So it's something that certainly is interest across the Great Lakes.
Sure.
Is there any indication, I know you're suggesting that a lot of it could be climate change and so forth, but is there any man-made issues and or water conservation failures that could play a part?
I actually don't know the answer to that. There are certainly different water uses within the Great Lakes system, and I really think that IJC would probably be better able to respond and identify what some of those issues are. One of the things that we will be wanting to do at our IRPA authority is bring a report back that talks a little bit about what the results of that study is that IJC is working on. And once we complete that report, we'll certainly make it available to all municipalities.
Councillor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hirst. Through you to Richard. Richard, thank you for that presentation. And you answered my questions regarding the water levels. But for Earth Day, I noticed that in Windsor, they planted a significant number of trees in another municipality. Does Emmersburg have anything planned for Earth Day, or do you have any plans for later on to plant trees?
We certainly are going to be doing some restoration projects in the municipality of Emmersburg. The things that we did annually, we've done an Earth Day planting in the city of Windsor for the last 15 or 16 years, and it is something that has been sponsored and supported by, in this case this year, it was the Windsor Cardiac Center that supported or sponsored the acquisition of 1,800 trees for a planting in the city of Windsor. This morning, in partnership with Brookfield Renewable, that donated $20,000 towards tree planting in and around the Lakeshore area, we actually participated in the tree planting, ceremonial tree planting up in Lakeshore this morning to honor and celebrate Earth Day. I know that our Friends of Watershed group and our outreach group have a number of different events scheduled and scattered throughout the region. I don't have in front of me how many and when they'll be here in Emmersburg, but I know that there are certainly projects around the region.
Yes.
Well, of course.
And further, that I know that the council has been concerned about the number of beach closures, especially at Holiday Beach. And do you see a trend toward cleaner beaches this year, or can you comment on that?
You know, and that's going to be an interesting one because there's a number of issues in our lake. Certainly, E. coli, which has been the source of beach closures, and then you add to that blue-green algae and some of the concerns that we've had. And when water levels are low, if it's another warm and hot summer with a lot of rainfall and downpours, as we did experience a couple years ago in 2011, we could see high levels of blue-green algae again. But there's a number of conditions there that all need to line up, I guess, depending on the outcome of that. There are some suggestions that it could be a bad year for blue-green algae. One of the things that we've got in our, when I talk about our research strategies, is to work more closely with the University of Windsor and others at trying to understand what some of the impacts are that are affecting beach closures. In the context of Ontario's Great Lakes Protection Act and the Great Lakes Strategy, beach closures is a great interest there. The Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement identifies beach closures as an important aspect. Through some of the work that IJC has done, they're trying to document the economic impact of blue-green algae and phosphorus loading and things like that. Certainly beach closures are part of that question as well. So there's a lot of work right now trying to document the extent and the significance of the issue. And certainly with that, we'll be able to leverage and hopefully find the funds to determine what the causes of that are and determine how we might be able to fix that through best practices.
Councillor Pilon? Yes, go ahead, sure.
One last question, Mayor Hurst, through you to our two IRCA reps regarding the Big Creek Feast of Famine. I just wondered if Greg Nemeth's presentation could be included, if you would pass it on behalf of Greg. Remember, he gave it to us last week?
Oh, out to?
For the Big Creek watershed.
Just understand what you're trying to ask us. You would like to see that passed on to IRCA?
Yeah,
we could do that.
Okay. So, you had your hand up?
Yes, I did. Thank you. Just a comment on one item you mentioned was a Big Creek study. I'm glad to see that we're going ahead. And if you know, if you do get stalled, we got a very capable planner here. More than a lot like to help you. She's got a lot of experience in it, too.
See, your planner's oddly familiar to me.
Do you kind of recognize your planner yet?
No, but in all seriousness here, you talked about the Big Creek watershed, and it's time it does come forward. And as it's been stated, we have our planner here, Rebecca, who's worked very hard on it, so I am hopeful that she has input on it to make sure that it meets the needs of this particular community.
Absolutely. If I could maybe respond to that. I did speak with Tim Burney, who was going to join me tonight but was unable to do so. He is pulled together. He's now the lead on this file. He's pulled together, or is pulling together this week, the technical planning team, which involves the experts on water quality, water quantity, and natural heritage, as well as your planner, formerly our planner, as we all know. And to talk a little bit about the information around the technical studies in the context of policy recommendations and recommendations in the broad sense for the Big Creek watershed. So it is certainly our intention that plan does get forwarded very, very soon.
Thank you. Councillor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, Richard, I just wanted to give commendations to yourself as well, because I think together with your administration, you brought forward a very responsible budget to the IRCA board this year. One that focused on reorganization in order to achieve sustainability, the focus on taking care of our current infrastructure assets that, as you mentioned, are long overdue before acquiring any more. And you know, you talked about that return on investment as well, and it's important too to note that $200,000 plus will be invested this year out at Holiday Beach in terms of upgrading of those washrooms, which are long overdue as well. And so, you know, we continue to reap the benefits of that return on investment, and that's really great. And for 11 cents on the dollar, an increase, that's pretty good. But we all know that we can do more. So I think it's a challenge not only to municipalities in Windsor-Essex County, but to individuals as well, because whether we're talking about source water protection or beach closures, or the increase in natural coverage, all those things are important. It all boils down to how much each one of us are willing to invest as good environmental stewards. And that really is the key. And certainly, sustainability is one thing, but there are necessary increases every now and then as well. And so that's something we have to keep an eye to in terms of, you know, if we want solutions, if we want forward progressive things happening, we need to make those investments. That's critical.
Councillor Di Pasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, is there any added pressure to IRCA with the current change in the weather, with the larger rainstorms and things of that nature? Does that put more pressure on you to come up with better ways of reducing flooding and things of that nature?
Well, and over the 40 years that we've been in existence, we've helped protect, and our engineers will tell you, anywhere from 5,000 to 7,500 homes in this region from flood and erosion through, working with municipalities and others on dike improvements and dikes and the such. The one thing that is, you know, that a lot of the studies didn't really prepare us for were understanding the changes in what we're seeing in our weather and in our climate, where we're getting more intensive storms more quickly, more frequently. You know, the 1 to 100 year floods are happening on a much more regular basis now and it's causing some differences in how we manage and how we understand the impacts of that and the flooding across the region. One of the programs that we are working on putting forward this year is what's known as the intensity duration frequency curve, or the IDF curve, working with all municipalities again to understand how the intensity, duration, and frequency of storms are affecting things like stormwater management, are affecting things like infrastructure size, are affecting the types of facilities that we design and build. So that curve is something that's been in place, and we rely on it. It's using Environment Canada data at the Windsor Airport. But that curve is in need of updating for a number of reasons, and those three I just described in terms of changes in as relates to climate are an important part of that. So that's a study that we're undertaking this year in partnership with potentially the Ontario Climate Change Consortium. To better understand what that standard needs to be so that we can improve working with all of your administrations, all municipal administrations, I should say, improve recommendations going forward, and also take a look at what other alternatives exist for dealing with some of our infrastructure needs. Certainly anytime you have to put a pipe in the ground, it's an expensive project, and if there's ways of dealing with it throughout the entire sort of process of water flow, there may be beneficial ways of doing that. So having that IDF curve is the first step, I think, in better appreciating what some of those impacts will be of climate change.
On the report, what's the council's pleasure? Councilor Pilo.
Motion to receive.
Been moved, supported by Councilor Davies. There's no further discussion. All in favor? Vote is carried unanimously. If I just can for a minute, Richard, you talked about in your report the implementation of the spawning area for the sturgeon in the Detroit River. Where are you talking about them being around Fighting Island? Are you, is that where you're talking about?
This project in Fighting Island, working with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and a number of other partners.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next presentation.
Next delegation is John McDonald, Amherstburg Historic Sites Association, 1812 project.
Your Worship and members of Council, John McDonald and I thank you for the opportunity to make this presentation tonight. On behalf of Amherstburg Historic Sites Association, who oversee the operation of the Parkhouse Museum and Parkhouse Tinsmith, I would also like to thank the Town of Amherstburg for its generous contribution towards the running of our operation. It is much appreciated, and we did get our check. Thank you very much. In January of 2012, we formed an 1812 committee headed by John McDonald, and we made an application to the Department of Canadian Heritage to fund a series of reenactments that would tell the story of the War of 1812 in our region, and we were successful in getting that grant. In 2012, the committee presented three events: the landing of General Brock in Wheatley, with whom we were partners, his subsequent landing at Amherstburg, and lastly, the story of Brock's ties to the island of Guernsey, presented by Sir Geoffrey Rowland, past bailiff of Guernsey, and Mike O'Hara, their Minister of Tourism. Both of these gentlemen were delighted to be presented to this council in this very room, and we have heard from them since, and they very much appreciated that. And we're giving you a video of each of these, DVD, I should say, that is about these three events. And John would like to present a little follow-up that you have to this.
Thank you, Valerie. Yes, Your Worship and Councillors. All the events that Valerie referred to, including your meeting with Bailiff Rowland and Minister O'Hara, are captured on the DVDs that you've just received as our completed first phase of the 1812 grant. We've also placed a few of these DVDs in the community. There's some at the tourism office, there's some at the park house. We've given them to some of the cast members and supporters. But at the moment, in fulfilling our commitment to Heritage Canada, we're giving priority to placement of these DVDs in public and separate schools to use as an education tool. And that process has begun. We placed our first group with the school board today. That was the public school board. We'll be doing the same with the separate board shortly. And we're in a dialogue with them as to how to best use the contents. This is an entirely local product, with the exception of the manufacturer of the DVDs, which was done in Toronto. And we're most grateful for the support of Heritage Canada and for their funding, and the Provincial Marine, and Ann Rhoda and staff at the Tourism Office, Hawksworth Design, who did the packaging and the prepared the master DVD, and others in the reenactment community who were so very helpful during the events themselves and in publicizing their results. As Valerie mentioned, copies are en route to Guernsey, and we will advise you of any response from the bailiff and the minister to determine if exploration of a possible formal link between our communities might be feasible. We're currently working with the Tourism Office on the Fall of Amherstburg and the Women's March, which will take place part of the Tall Ship Festival on Labor Day weekend. And again, it'll be a similar action reenactment event. And we're very pleased to present you and Mr. Mayor and the members of council with copies of these DVDs and hope that you find them enjoyable and informative. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On the report, Councillor Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm really happy that this has come forward, and it's going to be very interesting to watch. Certainly, I know that over the last year or two, that even members of our community have become so much more aware of all of the historic events that have occurred. Everything from the first casualty of the War of 1812 through to the March of the Women, which was a significant thing that didn't get written in the history books but got written in the diaries. Thank goodness for women keeping diaries way back then. So I really want to thank you for this. You hinted there at some desire to possibly have a twinning with Guernsey. Another noted fact is that it's first time in the history of ever that two countries had the exact same stamp. The Isle of Guernsey and Canada had the exact same stamp, that of Brock and Chief Tecumseh. So I think it would be interesting to twin, and certainly I'd be interested in looking forward to putting a motion down the road to that consider that. I'm not quite sure what the process is, but it would be interesting to do.
What's your pleasure on the presentation, Councillor Sutton?
Motion to receive the delegation.
It's been moved. To their supporter, Councillor Pilon. No further discussion. All in favor? Oh, this carried unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next delegation, Carl Gibb, Beef in the Berg and Rib Fest.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council, for allowing me a couple minutes to talk to you. And very simply, we are here to ask that you waive the fees for the times that the Rotary Club uses the parks. We try to be good corporate citizens when we use the parks, we clean them up, we put the garbage away, and we work with the different departments, and we try to do exactly what they were asked to do. The Rotary Club is committed to making this community a better place, and you are well aware of what we've accomplished over the years, like the clock at the end of Richmond Street, the Cottie Jones accessible playground, and the Miracle Field. And that's just a few of the examples. I got, if you want, I got a whole list of
you only have 15 minutes, Carl.
We work with the police department for bicycle safety. We work with the fire department. We bought smoke detectors and with the fire department. The outlying reasons of the municipality, and it's surprising how many people don't have smoke detectors. Have smoke detectors if batteries were dead or needed more smoke detectors. So it's well worth our while doing that. As you know, all our activities are geared for families, and the majority of the money we raise goes towards children's needs, and wheelchairs, handicap lifts, and those type of things. Some of the other things we do is we sponsor exchange students where kids from here go abroad, and we host students. Very rewarding experience for our club and for the students that go back and forth. The problem that we're having is one of the major draws on our money is the Park House Museum. And it used to be funded by Bingos, and we could manage that the museum with no problem. But when the Bingos went by the wayside, we suffered very deeply with no money. We started making rain barrels, but supply and demand drove us out of that market. And now it's a drain on any fundraising that we have, just trying to keep it going. We don't have the visitors that we used to have from the U.S. So every bit of expense is critical to our endeavors. This year's events, Beef in the Berg on June the 5th at Scotty Jones Park, sponsored by Sobeys and the businesses are really supportive of this. Ribfest July 5th, 6th, and 7th at Centennial Park. And one thing that wasn't on your agenda but has been requested is Pumpkinville at the Scotty Jones Park on October the 12th. So we would ask that you waive any fees for the use of these facilities. We appreciate everything the town and the mayor and the council and all the departments have gone out of their way to help us, to support us, and make sure that these events are successful. So I just ask that you consider those this request.
Thank you for that presentation. What's council's pleasure? Questions? Councilor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hirst. That the delegation be received and the fees be waived as requested for the use of the Toddy Jones Park and Centennial Park, and is it for the Toddy Jones Park or Pumpkinville?
Pumpkinville and Toddy Jones Park.
Okay.
They're supportive for that motion. Councillor Davies supports that motion. Further discussions? Hearing none. All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried.
No vote.
Next item.
Brings us to presentations, 11.1, Branding, Dean Culver, Director of Recreation and Culture, and Ann Rhoda, Manager of Tourism and Culture.
First of what will be many conversations regarding branding or rebranding of the community of Amherstburg. The idea of addressing the branding of Amherstburg was identified in the strategic plan under metric COL-DR-1-6, which identifies such need as research who our market is, investigate a consulting firm for costs, and look at our work through a cultural lens to develop our brand. As well, the town of Amherstburg had been successfully marketing itself and building a brand image over the past 5 years by virtue of committed efforts towards tourism initiatives and culminating in the bicentennial celebration of last year. This year we are planning to host Tall Ships and once again expose Amherstburg and its brand what we hope will be the thousands of visitors to our community. The idea of a brand is a generalized concept surrounding a product, organization's identity, and all of the parts within. The idea of stamping something in order to declare ownership originated with the ancient Egyptians, but we know it mostly from movies depicting the Old West and as an effort to foil cattle rustlers, which is why most people identify branding with the development of a logo that represents a product or organization. Today, however, branding is much more than what used to be a simple mark that declared ownership has become a concept that encompasses values and principles, unique selling propositions, emotional characteristics, and even vision. Brands no longer just indicate what a brand owner is, they tell a story about that brand owner. Some key requirements of a successful brand have been identified by marketing gurus in the modern era. It must be unique, one of a kind, and individual in such a way that separate the brand from the noise. Simple enough to be understood quickly and easily, but also communicate details that linger in the observer's mind and facilitate later recognition. It must be inherently and psychologically tied to the core values of the product or organization in order to represent common thoughts, feelings, perceptions, images, and experience that are relevant to the brand. A brand is a living thing. It's an idea or a promise, and it's residing in your imagination, but it needs help to get there. At this point, it's important to understand that the well-developed brands of successful organizations are treated as a commodity with the same weight and importance as elemental pieces of physical infrastructure. So I'm going to list a couple of few examples here. Nike. So the original mark for Nike that you see up in the upper left there was developed in 1971 for $35 by a Portland University graphic design student. And Phil Knight, the founder at the time, said, "I don't love it, but I think it'll grow on me." Over the next 24 years, the company would leverage that logo to the point where it was recognized as a global brand, and the name Nike, which accompanied the swoosh originally, was no longer required. The idea behind the swoosh is that it's an abstract wing that represents the Greek goddess named Nike. The goddess Nike is known as the representative of victory in Greek mythology. Next is Apple. Most people don't recognize the one on the left because it was back when Apple wasn't the successful company it is today. But it depicted Sir Isaac Newton sitting below a tree with an apple falling in his head in a tribute to his discovery of gravity. Designed by founder Steve Jobs, who revered genius above all else. It was replaced in 76 by the rainbow-colored silhouette of an apple with a bite taken out of it, and it remained the same until 1999 when Apple began using a monochrome logo for simplicity. The apple with the bite taken out of it is a tribute to the biblical discovery of knowledge by mankind. My last example is McDonald's. I most think that the golden arches are a graphic association with the letter M in the beginning of the word McDonald's, but that's only partly true. The original concept was based around the architectural design of the original restaurants back in 1952. So the co-founder, Dick McDonald, didn't like the flat-angled concepts that the architects presented to him, so he added arches over the front entrances to create some curvature. The golden arches were merged over the next decade and a half, but it wasn't until 1968 that the word McDonald's became the logo, with the giant capital M becoming the primary derivative trademark. So the town of Amherstburg budget for 2013 did not retain an amount to be committed to brand redevelopment. Instead, administration strategized about alternative ways to develop the town's brand identity. Over the next few months, reports will come to council recommending the adoption of what will be termed building blocks, in an effort to construct a brand image for the town from the grassroots level. It's hoped that this slower building process will allow for the thoughtful construction of each element and the engagement of council as the representative members of our community at large. The first element we will be addressing is the implementation of a tagline. Tagline covers a great deal of initial ground towards building a consolidated identity for our community. One of the most difficult things in brand building is how to capture all that an organization is within a singular concept. A tagline is a descriptive word or phrase that communicates the story of the brand and is often essential in communicating the brand identity in the development phase. So again, I've got a few examples here. So Nike has had lots of taglines over the years, and the nature of a tagline actually allows for it and may even require for changes over time. The tagline used by Nike that's resonated, at least for my generation, is "Just Do It." In Apple's case, in responding to what they saw as their prime competition, they countered IBM's tagline, "Think," with what became an enduring tagline for Apple with "Think Different." And in McDonald's case, they went from "Look for the Golden Arches" in 1960 to "You Deserve a Break Today" in 1970. Today's "I'm Loving It." And McDonald's has generated more taglines than almost any other major corporation. Now, while a report will be coming to next council regarding approval, we'd like to at this time share with you a proposed tagline concept developed by the Department of Recreation and Culture, and we hope you'll like it. And I've created a little bit of drama, so I hope you bear with me, because I haven't acted since high school, so I'm going to read something and just pretend I sound good. So, okay.
Got it.
All right.
Good sell.
Now, here's the first little piece of drama. We're going to go dark. For over 200 years, our community has witnessed the building of a nation out of wilderness. Those who came before us saw the opportunities and made a commitment to find more. We've looked after our past while always keeping an eye on the future. We We've maintained our pride in history and accomplishment. For over 200 years, we have been building towards who we are today, but we're not quite done. Amherstburg, 200 years of history, and we're just getting started. So at this point, we can take any questions surrounding the process or any questions you have about any part of it. Happy to listen.
Any questions? Deputy Mayor Sutherland, followed by Councilor David.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Dean, I've got to say that's Oscar material.
No, it's not. Your
humility precedes you. I think that was just an excellent presentation, and I can't wait to see more of what's going to be enveloped. I mean, everything that's been done so far up to now to promote Amherstburg and its history and whatnot, and this branding issue. I mean, as soon as I saw that earlier on in my career, I was involved in many of these types of things, and I really believe that with the talent that we have, with yourself and Ann and people that are working with you, with some help maybe from council, you'll do the right thing and make us really proud to be Amherstburgers, if you will. So thank you very much.
Councilor Davies.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor, through you. I thought it was a good presentation as well, and I didn't think you needed any apologies for your presentation. It was very good. You know, it's always challenging because there are so many important things that come down for our town. I mean, it was the War of 1812. It was the Rum Runners. It was the wine country. It's the fertile soil that we have. It's the agriculture. It's all of those things. So it's really hard to try to put it in a short phrase. And I know that there's an expression that ye who brands first wins. And so we want to get it right. And the other thing that always makes me a little bit nervous when I hear about branding is that whatever expression we use, it doesn't come back to bite. So you've got to make sure it plays on all ends, and that what you presented here, I think, is a very positive one. So I'm sure you're going to only be able to enhance on that.
Presentation before us is to receive. What's council's pleasure? Councilor DePasquale.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you.
Sure, go ahead.
Dean, I've been involved in little things in the past where you're trying to come up with something like that. How much time did it take you to put that together? I'm sure it took some time.
To you, Mr. Mayor, this is kind of what I've done with my career. So see, the idea was took about a minute because it was something that came to us. You know, Ann and I have had lots of talks about the character of the community and what it is and what it has built itself to be. And we know that there's a reflection on the heritage of the community, the heritage and the things that we uphold and want to look after as part of our community. But we also know that we're looking forward. Right, we're looking down the road, and so really it was trying to find a way to have a kind of a grasp on the past but a vision towards the future. And once it hit, it was really easy. It just came. But it really kind of, like, to say it came in a minute is kind of misleading, because it was really kind of about, you know, talking to people like Ann, talking to people in our community and getting a group together that really understood, you know, what we are at our core.
On the presentation, Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
I would move the receipt of this excellent presentation.
Supported by Councilor Sutton. Further discussion? All in favor? Motion is carried. I can't wait till you come back again. Next report.
That brings us into reports. Under Engineering and Infrastructure, item 17.1, 2013 Roadside Weed Spraying Project Tender Results.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move receipt of the report and that council award the contract to the lowest bidder.
Been moved, supported by Councilor Pino. All in favor? Opposed? Is there any discussion? Go ahead.
Of course. Please. The question that I did ask last year as well, are we just making sure that we're using our herbicide that is the safest that we can use?
Would you just, I would hope that you would put that in the report, because this is repetition all the time.
And it changes according to price sometimes.
But go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, we're using the most effective herbicide that we can. It is very, very low toxicity to animals and vertebrates and does not bioaccumulate.
And for the individuals that we have used, are these the ones that have been doing it?
The low bidder is actually D'Angelo Brothers, and they've done it 4 years in a row. This would be the fifth year.
It's important that council understand that.
Yes. And what we're targeting is actually the large thistle, clover, wild strawberry, wild carrot, broadleaf plants. That's all we're targeting. And this is a very safe compound that we're using. And we also have a representative from the Public Works Department that is with the applicator at all times.
So it had no impact on Pragmites, then?
No, I was going to ask that.
On the motion, all in favor? Motion is carried. Next item.
Item 17.2, Texas Road Reconstruction Program 2013 and 14 Construction, Proposed Road Cross Section.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, what we have presented here is a typical cross-section. We also have our consulting engineer, Dave Archer, from R.C. Spencer Engineering, that has spent countless hours looking at this thing. We did receive very strict instructions from council as to what they wanted to see. So we've put this into a cross-section that we believe will serve very well for many, many years to come. And I'll open up the floor to Dave Archer that will actually explain each one of the features, starting from the north to the south limit of the right-of-way, Dave, if we can.
Thanks, Luke. Mr. Mayor, members of council. I think everyone's got a copy of the cross-section. There's also one here on the board for display. Starting from the north side, there's a boulevard section from the property line, which is 11 feet or 3.35 meters, leading to a concrete path or trail. The concrete path is 2.7 meters or 9 feet wide, attached to a curb and gutter, barrier curb and gutter for an urban cross section. Adjacent to that is two driving lanes, each 3.5 meters or 11.5 feet wide. Adjacent to that is a bicycle path on the south side, 1.2 meters on the pavement and an additional 0.3 in the gutter to make 1.5 or 5 feet. Adjacent to that is a concrete curb and gutter. Adjacent to that is a 5-foot concrete sidewalk, 1.5 meters. And the remainder of the boulevard is, 11-foot boulevard, 3.35 meters, extending to the south property limit. That is the current proposal for the cross-section for Texas Road. We'd like to move forward to get ready for a public meeting to present this to the public, but we first need to make sure that council's desires are being met with this cross-section.
Question to council. Councilor Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think it's great. It looks beautiful. I think it's great. I'm so happy to see the bike lanes and the path. I am concerned, and I have raised this with Public Works, is that there's no place for street parking. And I know they have great big driveways, but it just concerns me if there was events on the street that maybe it's not specific to one driveway, or maybe I just am concerned about that, even if it was just on one side of the street.
I think one of the things council should be aware of, there's no parking there now. The other thing we should be aware of, when we did Laird Avenue, we had the same thing. There's no parking. Understand, Texas Road is a connector road, and so that being in regard, you've got to look at the reason for that very fact. I think if we look at Sandwich Street, for example, one of the problems we have is in the high school, before you get to the dentist's office, there's some parking in there. That's causing great problems in this movement of our vehicle through town, and that very soon is going to have to be addressed with Front Road. But I think while we would like to see a lot of things, I think there's reasons behind not having that, and I think council should be made aware of that very fact for the Texas Road area. Anyone else? Councilor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, Dave, I think it looks good for, as you say, something to bring to the public and get their feedback on. Looking at the timelines that are listed in the report, let's just say the public comes back and says, you know, we'd like you to maybe put bike lanes on both sides of the road and reduce width of a sidewalk or something like that. Any revisions to the proposal, is there still enough time post the public meeting to get that to tender and the construction started on time as listed in the report if there are those revisions?
Yes, sir. We anticipate that there's going to be minor revisions.
Perfect. Thank you.
I think the thing we have to understand is we're looking for it to even be stepped up even more than that. And Lou will at some point in time be able to come back to us with that very fact. That's a valid point you put forth. Councilor Cruje.
Thank you, Mayor Hirst. And it would probably be through you too, Lou. The Parks Committee had a brief discussion about this about a week ago, and they were concerned whether or not they could do something to improve the looks when you're entering Texas Road. But I don't know if there would be enough room at the corner for that, or if there could be like a little boulevard in the center, or is the road not wide enough at that section?
I can answer that. We've looked at putting a decorative island on Texas Road at Frontier. We've also taken a look at doing the same thing on Knob Hill, immediately north of Texas Road. In both instances, we can maintain school bus traffic with a concrete medium, and in both instances, we cannot maintain truck traffic. So if we do get any large type moving vans for people moving in and out of the neighborhood, they're gonna run over that island. So for that reason, we're not suggesting that, we're not making that recommendation. If you want to do something to enhance the feature on the boulevard, that could be looked at, but not in the middle of the road.
I think that will come with it at the end, because we'll have Tony and them look at it to see what they can do to dress up that particular area. But believe me, this is going to be a tremendous transformation when it is completed. On the presentation, what's council's pleasure? Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you. I'll move the presentation and also concur with the recommendation to move forward with the open house tenders, etc., as listed.
Their supporter, Councillor Sutton, supports that motion. Further discussions? Hearing none, all in favor? Motion again is carried unanimously.
That brings us to reports under Legislative Services. 21.1 Amherstburg Firefighters Annual Volleyball Tournament, June 8th.
This is our annual event for the firefighters. Councillor Peel.
Motion to receive the request and also to concur with the request.
Been moved, supported by Councillor Puget. Further discussions? All in favor? Both carried unanimously.
21.2 Corporate Policy, Signing of Agreements, Leases, and Contracts.
Councillor Sutton.
Move the report be received and the corporate policy be approved.
Been moved by Councillor Sutton, supported by Deputy Mayor Sutherland. All in favor? Both motion carried.
Item 21.3, Liquor License Application, Seasons Amherstburg, 681 Front Road South.
Councilor Cruiser.
Thank you, Mayor Hirst. That the report be received, and further that the clerk be authorized to advise the Alcohol and Gaming Commission of Ontario Council support for the application for Seasons Amherstburg, 681 Front Road South.
There's a supporter for that motion. Councilor Davies supports that motion. Discussions? Councilor Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have a question, and I'm sure it's been answered, but I don't recall. The liquor license for Seasons, is that going to be like open to the public? Can anybody just go there and have a drink, or is that what that's for? Is that for the residents only? I presume it's for the residents, but I don't know.
Actually, I'm not familiar with that application. In that answer, I'd have to... Yeah. Get back to council with the answer. I'm sorry.
Never mind. I'll just ask Nicole on the side. No problem. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously.
License of occupation agreement.
Councillor DePasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I move that the report from Paula Parker, deputy clerk, be received. And the council approved the execution of the license of occupation agreement for an additional 3-year period.
There is support for that motion. Councilor Puget supports that motion. Discussions? All in favor? Poll is carried unanimously.
Consent reports. There are items A through F.
What's your pleasure? Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll move that the consent reports A through F be received.
There is support for that motion. Councilor Pilon supports that motion. Any discussions? Councilor Pilon, followed by Councilor Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And just a comment on surface treatment, the turn chip program. I'm hoping that our public works area will sometime in the near future look at some new roads for out in the rural area. As you know, we still have some gravel roads, and people out there are very patient, but they would love to see them get up having some nice roads to drive home on. Thank you.
On the motion, any further discussion? Councilor Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On number C, winter control cost summaries for 2012, I appreciated that coming in. I was just wondering if we could have had a comparison for the 2011-2012, because 2012 was really part of, because 13 isn't over yet.
You want to see 2012 as it relates to 11.
Thank you.
That can take
place. Exactly what I want.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And with D, with E, the Amherstburg Water Treatment Plant, I was just wondering if, it is D, I apologize, whether or not we have an opportunity to, do we get quarterly reconciliations so that we can see that we're within budget quarterly? I know we get, our updates of accounts payable, but not necessarily whether or not we met our targets for each quarter to make sure we're in budget.
Go ahead. Bell, would you do that, please?
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, we are in the process of actually putting those numbers together. We'll have a report at the next meeting of council. I've had a preliminary look at the numbers, and they look good. We're okay at this point, but we will have a formal report at council at the next meeting.
Thank you.
Okay, I think also on the consent report, at our last meeting, questions were raised about the bollard and the fencing. And we have Ann here. Ann, would you address that for us, please?
Thank you, through to you, Mr. Mayor, to the rest of council. So the question was asked about specifically for the ropes going across. There will be no ropes going across the sidewalk, and as far as the fencing, it is regulated by Transport Canada and by, you're learning so many parties that are involved, the Marine Policy and Regulatory Affairs. So everything will be regulated, and especially due to security in and around the tall ships as they are foreign vessels. Thank you.
Councilor Davies?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I am going back to the Amherstburg Water Treatment Plant submission. It says a maximum achieved of water is 15,126, and this is probably a question to either Lou or Antoinette, and I did email them. Is our water use within fair conservation compared to other communities, or are we over or under? As far as use of water, 15,126 liters per minute.
Mr. Mayor, I had a conversation with Antonetta today, and she's looking up the information. She had difficulty trying to find a comparison with other municipalities because that information is not available. However, she did find a Canada-wide statistic that indicates that we are right in line with that.
And supplementary to that same report, it concerned me a little bit. The service population for the monthly process data.
Can I help you?
I know you're putting it upside down now. Sorry. The in that report, the Ontario Clean Water Agency monthly process data report, it talked about servicing the population of 20,599, but the total design capacity was 18,184. Which isn't as much as we have population. I'm just wondering if that's an issue or is that standard to be a little bit under?
Mr. Mayor, we're comparing apples and oranges here. The 18,000 is actually our production in cubic meters, and the populace is per person.
Okay, thank you.
Where are we at? On the motion, we got a motion on the floor?
Motion.
All in favor? Opposed, motion is carried unanimously.
That brings us to consent correspondence, items A through I.
Councillor Sutton.
Move receipt of the consent correspondence as listed.
It's been moved. There's supporter. Councillor Pouget supports that. Any discussions? I think just one. Under I, the Ontario Distribution Sector Review, and the Essex Power is looking for an approval by council with the letter that they have sent relative to being a small distributor and the efficiency that are there. They sent it to the ministry in relative to the letter that the ministry's committee has put together, and they're looking for the shareholder, and Amherstburg being one of the shareholders, to send a letter of support to the letter that they have sent. And so I think that's important that we deal with that one separately. Councillor Sutton.
Yeah, I have no problem amending the motion to receive items A through H, and we'll do I separately.
It's okay with the supporter. All in favor? Opposed, that's carried. With respect to I, go ahead, Councillor Sutton.
Move that we send a letter of support as per Essex Power's request.
Supported by Councillor Davies. Any further discussion? All in favor? Motion again is carried unanimously.
That brings us to consent other minutes, Coang Park Committee minutes.
Councillor Peel.
Motion to receive those minutes.
It's been moved. They're supported. Deputy Mayor Sutherland supports that motion. Any discussions? All in favor? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Correspondence item 25.1, West Nile virus response larvaciding.
It's Councilor's pleasure. Councillor Pouget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. That the correspondence be received, and further that Council support this notice of action by the municipalities for lands under their jurisdiction and support applications to the Ministry of Environment for the application of larvicide on private lands.
And so that will include a letter of support that I will send to the Windsor Essex Health Unit. Mm-hmm. All there are supporters for that. Councillor Davies supports that motion. Is there any more discussions? Hearing none, all in favor? Opposed, motion is carried unanimously.
Item 25.2, Earth Week Climate Awareness Event with David Suzuki.
With Council's pleasure relative to that, we have been contacted, as the other municipalities have, for that particular day, and what they're looking for from each municipality is a donation of $1,500. What's Council's pleasure? Councillor Peel.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I think it's very important that we recognize that the climate awareness, because there's drastic changes going on, and it's affecting us in a number of ways. And this being a youth, for the youth, I think it would be good for everybody. So I'm going to motion to receive it and to concur with the donation.
They're supportive for that. Councillor DePasquale supports that motion. I think just in that regard, today we're celebrating Earth Day, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, and I think this is an opportunity for us to recommit ourselves, each and every one of us, in protecting our environment and reducing toxic air pollution, in trying as best we can to remove or reduce the harmful emissions and improving our air quality. So I think by using that, looking at reuse, recycle, those types of things, I think it leads a pathway to our future. And as we all understand and appreciate, this environment doesn't belong to us. It's only on loan for us, and it's for our children and our children's children. So I want to say to council on this particular one, it's a very prudent thing that you're doing. On the motion, all in favor? Opposed, motion is carried unanimously.
Unfinished business items?
Any unfinished businesses? Councillor Peel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've had some discussion with Lou. It's going back. I've had a ratepayer call me, and We have a concern out at our Thomas Road, for the one thing, there's been some changes. As you know, there's dumpsters out there. Our residents used to bring leaves and be able to dump them on the ground, and we'd pick them up with a backhoe or something. But now they have to dump them in this bin, 5-foot bin. And it does create a problem. I went in there on Saturday, Luke, and there was a gentleman standing on the edge of his truck. He had the leaves in the bag and shaking them. Now, if he had a fallen, he's on town property. We need to do something. I understand we don't want to do the old procedure, but we need to make something safer so people can get rid of their leaves, their twigs, the branches they tie up. I don't know if Lou has any more comments on that or
what. Mr. Mayor, I will look into that personally tomorrow.
Okay.
And we will make modifications.
And report back?
Definitely.
Mr. Mayor, we certainly had the students would be there. I mean, so we certainly took advantage of it so that people weren't doing that. So they would take it from them and ask them not to dump them themselves. I know they're trying to save their bags and things like that. And we also have the curbside, which...
I think what you're going to have, you're always going to have a situation where some people are not capable of doing it safely. You're always going to have, when you're on town property, I don't care if it's in here, you can have somebody go out and trip, and you're going to have a problem. You're going to be faced with that. We just try and make it. If we know there's a problem, let's try and remediate that problem. Lou's going to look at it and report back with some steps that he can take to alleviate that. Okay? Anything else under unfinished business? New business? Councilor Pruge.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. I just wondered if we could request administration to provide council with a report regarding this relatively new legislature to protect our protectors. It was in one of our local papers, and it is for all our volunteers, firemen, full-time, and retired firefighters, and I wondered if they have been informed of said law that is retroactive till 1960.
Are you putting that forward as a notice of motion?
I was going to ask if it could just be put forth as a
to
motion.
To me, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
What matters is you get
ask.
A complaint, and then, of course, somebody says we're not doing it the way we should be doing it. That's my concern.
Well, it's just basically a request.
I'm not opposed to it, telling you.
So I'm just asking for a motion.
You're putting
a motion
forward.
A motion.
And what is the motion, once again?
To request administration to provide council with a full report regarding the new legislature to protect our protectors. And if all our volunteer, full-time, retired firefighters have been informed of said bylaw that is retroactive till 1960. And I have a copy of the...
Yeah, that you can hand that to her, that's for sure. On the motion, all in favor?
We get a seconder?
Yeah, didn't you get one? No seconder, no supporter?
No, we didn't ask for one.
Councilor Davies?
I'll second it.
It's been seconded by Councilor Davies. Every motion you ask for a supporter. Any discussions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. Anything further under new business? Report from in camera?
Councilman at 5 p.m. on April 22nd, 2013, for a special in-camera meeting and discussed one item, being FACA update, which was heard under Section 239, 2E and F of the Municipal Act. There's nothing further to report on this matter.
That's for council's information. Are there any notices of motion? Confirmatory bylaw?
Bylaw 2013-42, bylaw to confirm the proceedings of April 22nd.
Moved by Councillor Sutton, supported by Deputy Mayor Sutherland. Discussion? All in favor? Motion is carried. Next on the agenda?
Move to adjourn.
Moved by Deputy Mayor Sutherland, supported by Councillor Sutton. All in favor? Motion is carried.